Continuing education is more essential and more strategically valuable than ever. The old model of front-loaded education is no longer viable. Today's learners need relevant and flexible CE to keep pace.
And we have a free resource to help your learning business provide that kind of high-impact learning. The Strategic CE Playbook introduces a practical framework to help you strategically design and deliver continuing education programs that will succeed in today's complex and competitive market.
The playbook focuses on three essential levers: personalization, portfolio thinking, and performance.
To learn more about the three levers and how to use them effectively, get your copy of the Strategic CE Playbook at leadinglearning.com/strategic-CE.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb. And this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Hey there, we are back with a second installment in our after-action review for learning technology design. And in case you missed the first installment, we spent some time talking about the overall concept behind the event and kind of the framework that we applied to it. And you can get that, get the show notes for that, and also get that episode at leadinglearning.com, episode 35. And of course, you can get the show notes for this episode at leadinglearning.com, episode 36. And again, in that last episode, we really talked about, you know, what learning technology design was supposed to accomplish, kind of the concepts behind it, and then also just kind of the framework that that we brought to it, what we characterize as really a questioning framework that we applied to particularly the full group sessions that we had at the event. But the full group sessions weren't all that the event was about. We had quite a lot of content beyond that.
So beyond those full group sessions. We also both days had morning workshops, your choice of one of two longer length workshops, so an hour and 45 minutes, or your third choice was to go to a grouping of three content pods. And content pods is our term for kind of shorter, really focused content presentations that are then followed by ample time for Q&A. So that was the choice. We put the workshops in the morning based on some actually feedback from the symposium, with the idea that people are kind of fresher and more right, able to focus and engage in something like that in the morning. So that's why we put them there. And we also knew that not everybody was going to necessarily want to do kind of that longer time commitment around a particular subject. So we wanted to offer not just a choice of workshops, but also kind of that different approach with the content pods.
Right, right. And, you know, and we should say, you know, at the point that we're talking now, we're about to put an evaluation out. We haven't done the evaluation. We haven't gotten that back. And that's sort of purposeful. We want to talk just sort of based off of our own impressions before we're influenced by, you know, whatever we hear back. But at least, you know, with respect to those workshops and with respect to the content pods that were going on at the same time, felt like we got good feedback on those. That you know, the people who did want to dig deep on a particular topic, obviously they had that opportunity, they could do it. And I know at least in the two workshops that I was involved in, leading one on marketing mastery and working with you on learning platform selection, and another one, people were definitely engaged. I mean, you know, there's a lot of discussion. There was questioning going on, and
questions.
Questions. Always questions. And you know, and I think some very substantive learning was able to go on. I didn't even get to see any of the content pods because I was doing a workshop both mornings. So you'll have to say, you know, how that went from your perspective.
Well, I thought so I got to see the content pods on day one, because as you mentioned, day two, I was leading one of the workshops, but I thought that it went really well. We had interesting topics and then good questions around it. And, you know, we had enough time for questions, but there were questions, you know, that kind of filled the available time. And so it felt like a nice mix of, okay, let's get someone who can share something concrete. We had Dr. Brian McGowan there talking about flipped, his experience with a really serious, a few really serious flipped classroom experiences and sharing that data, sharing that experience, the lessons learned, and then had, you know, good questions around that. We had, you know, other topics as well, but I think it was a nice mix and kind of kept a nice pace.
Yeah, and I think it was a good mix. And, you know, we should say, to the extent it hasn't been clear already, I mean, we did a lot of work ahead of time, you know, going out to prospective attendees and then actual registrants, asking them about, you know, their challenges, what they're really wrestling with, to extract from that the topics, you know, and then, of course, you know, we have our own opinions about what organizations should be thinking about right now, because we're out there, you know, every day, and we do this stuff ourselves. I thought it was a really good mix. Flipped learning, I thought, you know, you interviewed Brian, and we'll link to that podcast as well.
You interviewed Brian.
Did I interview Brian?
I interviewed Brian. You interviewed Brian.
Wow, I tell you, it's a blur, isn't it? We're now on episode 35 here. It's hard to remember what all has happened. But yeah, I mean, incredibly smart guy. But then we had, you know, Tadu Yimam giving a talk on podcasting, which we did record the content pods, and we need to review that. And as long as they look good and people are open to it, we'll put out some or all of those. But I know, you know, I want to hear what she had to say about podcasting. Mark Nillis talking about using Booster Learn for, you know, reinforcing learning over time. Layla Masri talking about kind of usability issues related to conversion, you know, getting people to actually make the journey to making the purchase on your website and how to make that happen better. So nice mix of learning and marketing and technology type stuff going on in the content pods.
Yeah, and Diane Elkins talking about kind of just good design tips that would boost learner engagement, you know. So yeah, it was a nice range of topics, I think, and some of them were kind of, you know, experience case study driven. Some of them were I did one around kind of cutting edge technologies, which got a little less practical, but a little bit, I think, interesting in terms of, you know, what's on the horizon, what do we need to be thinking about. So it was a nice mix of topics and kind of both practical and maybe a little bit more, what should we be thinking about?
And I could tell you were already starting to, go on long enough in this after action review. I think we'd been talking about just doing this as a single episode, but as we've started pulling at the thread, it seems like it may be worth continuing to talk for a little bit. And you may be hearing us in episode 2 of this particular podcast. But let's move on to talking about what happened in the afternoons. And again, you know, all of this is framed by that sort of questioning framework, the opening and closing sessions that we talked about earlier. But, you know, we've had the morning workshops and the option for the content pods if you don't want the workshops. But then after lunch,
we had hour-long workshops on day one. We had 2 hour-long workshops, and you had your choice between 2 at each of those time slots. And then on day one, we had you had your choice of 1 of 2 1-hour. So we had a chance for 3 what we called app labs. So the idea was that these were going to focus a bit on the application of ideas and hopefully get people to really be digging in and thinking about, okay, how does this apply to me? What can I do? And we had app labs on things like micro learning and on digital badges and webinar mastery, things like that.
Yeah, and again, we haven't gotten evaluations back, so we don't know definitely, you know, how those were received. But I know, for example, you know, I was in the session with Josh Goldman talking about micro learning, so I was able to witness that one firsthand. That was packed. I think in retrospect, if we'd sort of thought about that, we had a little bit of difference in the size of the rooms, could have potentially put him in a bigger room. That was a little hard to balance. But in any case, nobody seemed to care because everybody's really engaged in that particular room. Josh just, you know, really knows his stuff around micro learning. He's one of the few associations. He's with the Ohio CPAs, who's actually done it. Plus he's just a smart guy in general.
I was going to say, he's just really smart in general.
And he was able to, you know, really lay out, you know, what micro learning is, but then also give the specific case study around what they did and really engage people in thinking about how they could actually leverage this for their organization, the pros and cons, and frankly, some of the blather that's out there right now around things like brain science that's being used to sell micro learning, which, he pointed out a lot of that isn't necessarily true with a big T, as he puts it, and that organizations need to be cautious about some of the claims that are being made about microlearning, but that it does just have, you know, a lot of potential within learning models. And he's less bullish about what potential it has within business models, but that's there as well, and he did discuss that.
So maybe we should talk a little bit more about the role of the exhibitors that we had there.
Yeah.
Because we've actually felt like it was really important at a learning technology design event to have some companies that have platforms and services and tools out there involved, because we felt like it would be important to the extent that attendees hadn't had a chance to look at some of those systems or talk to people representing them, that would be really a useful aspect of it.
Yeah, and so, you know, we really wanted to try to break down some of the traditional walls between exhibitors and attendees that, you know, we've always experienced from both sides of the aisle.
Right, we've been vendors ourselves.
That's right. It's been a while. But in any case, you know, we wanted to make it clear that any company that was there as an exhibitor, as a solution provider, you know, we wanted them. They were welcome for full participation in, you know, all of the parts of the event. So sitting at the table, you know, in any of the workshops or app labs or whatever.
And not only welcome, to encourage.
Encourage, yes, absolutely. That was really, I mean, in fact, not even, that was the expectation, that they were actually, you know, participants, attendees at the event, just like everybody else. They just also happened to have a table where they could talk about the products and services that they provide. And then we did, you know, we put them in the main room where everybody was, you know, for a significant, you know, part of the event, you know, all of the open and closing sessions, the content pods, lunch, and we were open, you know, an hour before things really kicked off to, and people did, you know, we didn't really kick off things until 9:30 on each day. We opened at 8:30 and most people were there, between 8:30 and 9, and, you know, starting to congregate and talk to exhibitors and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so I think that it was good in terms of our expectation, of having that expectation. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, maybe we need to do, in terms of the after action review and thinking about it, I think maybe we need to try to emphasize that even more. I think that's a natural way of being at events for some of the companies that were there, that they tend to just be there and act as learners and, you know, mm-hmm. they go to sessions, all of that. I think for others, that's not necessarily how they're used to interacting at events, and they're kind of more used to being tethered to their table and kind of, you know, open during exhibit times and trying to play catch up on work, you know, during the rest of the day. But so I think we need to probably do an even more active job of conveying our mindset, our ideal way of thinking about how there would that they would just be attendees like anyone else.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there is a very real sort of cultural barrier between attendees and exhibitors in many instances. And, you know, I think many attendees in an event can be reluctant to actually walk up and engage with an exhibitor because they feel like, you know, that's going to commit them to something, and that, you know, and they know they may not have a need right now. They certainly may not have a budget right now. So they're reluctant to just engage in a conversation that could actually be, you know, extremely fruitful conversation, you know, and that's a difficult barrier to break down. I mean, I think the best we can say about this is we're going to have to work at it over time, get more input from attendees, get more input from the solution providers and exhibitors, and, you know, what can we do to make sure that, you know, good, substantive, meaningful conversations happen that are actually going to be very helpful to both sides. So we had some of it, you know, I'd give us maybe a B minus on that. I think we made a good effort at it, but we have a lot of room to grow there.
So since we are getting a little long, maybe we should just talk about the fact that as we wrapped up LTD, we didn't think of it as an end because we don't really see this as a one-off event.
Yeah, and we said that, you know, the same thing about the symposium, that really it's part of an overall approach to community, really, you know, to trying to connect people that we feel traditionally have not necessarily had great opportunities for connecting, to help to try to facilitate that and engender that and hopefully keep it going over time. We've made a big effort with that with the symposium, and we actually have even an online community going around that. With learning technology design, I think mainly, you know, we wanted to make sure that we were providing ample opportunity for people to be, you know, in conversation with each other. I mean, that's part of the reason for opening early each day was for the exhibitors to get some traffic. But, you know, at least as important was just to give people a place where they can come and commune and talk, which, as we said, you know, a lot of people did. We provided ample time during lunch for that to happen. We tried as much as possible to encourage, but certainly during our general sessions, but then also, you know, during each of the content segments that were throughout the day, interactive type learning where people really were talking with each other and having conversations, you know, and again, stressing, what did you bring? How are you going to help other people here? And at least the feedback we got in informal conversations with people around kind of the kinds of connections, the kind of conversations that they were having, that was happening. You know, we're not going to walk out of this one event and suddenly have, you know, everybody bonded tightly for life, you know, mm-hmm. and sharing their professional practices on a daily basis. But I know a lot of people coming out of this are going to stay in touch with each other. You know, every time we come back together, whether it's for this or anything else we do, that community is going to be, you know, tighter and tighter. So we hope over time that we really are building something for which this event just represents sort of, you know, one point in time in which that broader community comes together. But as it goes back out into the world, it's still staying connected.
And I think it's a benefit of it being a relatively small event that people can have that type of conversation and connection. And you really feel like, oh, I actually got to meet a really large number of the people who are here. And you don't have the sense of, you know, it wouldn't really matter if I weren't here because it's so many thousands of people that, you know, no one would miss me. You know, I think that really encouraged the participation and made it possible for people to make connections. So I think, you know, while we'd like to grow the event, you know, I don't think we're headed anywhere huge, certainly not anytime soon, but even just on principle, I don't think we're headed anywhere huge because of that, in terms of numbers, because we really like that quality over quantity.
Right, right. So I guess, you know, end of the day, you know, as we look at what we set out to do, what we were expecting to happen. You know, all in all, I feel like it was successful. Certainly, you know, we were able to bring together more than 100 people for learning technology design, really have what seemed like some meaningful interaction. I mean, I think, you know, things that we will strive for, I know, going forward is, you know, how do we frame each of these events? I think we were successful this time in how we framed it, but we have to ask that, you know, every time we come around, what's the context this time? How do we really make sure we're providing the right framework for connecting the dots here and really helping learning to happen? So that, you know, that's always going to be a challenge, and I think we did okay with it this time, but we have to keep our eye on that. You know, we made a big effort at getting the right content, the right topics, which I think we did. It's always going to be a challenge, as I think it is for every organization, to really focus on, I guess I'd say, the talent that you bring to the table, you know, who those speaker facilitators are, you know, who you're involving in the event overall. And, you know, again, I think we were very fortunate to have some great people involved this time, but are going to have to, you know, stay on top of that and make sure we're really finding great people who get the idea of, you know, not just being the sort of stand and deliver, but really facilitating learning in the sessions that they're running.
And that gets back to community, that it's mm-hmm. about building that community. It's about us, right, finding the right people, bringing them in and helping them connect with others. And the same way that we're talking about breaking down barriers kind of with the solution providers or exhibitors, I think the same thing with the speakers, facilitators, that really, I would love to have that sense of we really are all part of the same community. There's not kind of a distinction or separation, that you can talk and that everyone is willing to share their experience and expertise, whether they have that label of speaker facilitator or not. But certainly the ones that do, feeling really good about what they're bringing to the table.
Yeah. So, you know, out of the gate, what we set out to do, what actually happened, you know, I think they were pretty close this first time out, and there're certainly areas for improvement. But you know, looking forward to that opportunity for improvement. So, you know, for everybody listening, This is hopefully the first of many, and the website for the event will remain the same. It's ltd.leadinglearning.com. So, you know, if you didn't have the chance to be at this year's, we still encourage you to go check that out. You can see what the schedule was, everything that we've been talking about here. But we'll also put a sign up there for people who want to be notified, you know, as early as possible for when we announce next year and open up registration for that. Bonus for that is, you know, anybody who signs up for that is going to get the best rate for the event, because I'll hear about it earlier than everybody else. You know, I guess beyond that, we ended the event itself with a quote from E.E. Cummings. Maybe we can end this podcast with that same quote.
Always a beautiful answer. Who asks a more beautiful question?